Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor with Real Broker here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My hope is that you take a few things away from their experiences to grow your own business. I'm so excited to have Phil Gerdes on the podcast, y'all. He is a top realtor and team leader from Maryland, Virginia, DC area, and he's going to share some gold nuggets on the podcast, y'all. I can't wait for you guys to check out what he has to say. So, Phil, welcome to the podcast, my brother.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here, man. I'm happy we were able to put this together and make it work. I'm looking forward to it.
So tell us a little bit about DC, man. Tell us a little bit about the market out there, man. Give us a little bit of your backstory so that we can kind of share what it's like to be selling real estate around the capital, man.
Yeah, definitely. So we sell in Maryland, Virginia, DC. I live in actually Annapolis, Maryland, and I love it here. It's funny. We my wife and I moved to Florida years and years ago. And when we moved back to Maryland, I had one rule. Just one caveat. I said, Vic, if we're going to head back up north, I have to live in the heart of Maryland. I got to live in Annapolis downtown. And that's exactly where we moved. What I love about it is that not only do we have all different types of real estate here, we have all different types of people. We're surrounded by water. It's historic. It's gorgeous everywhere you look. It's just a really great place to call home. And we have the opportunity to maybe go to Baltimore, go right into Northern Virginia, go right into DC. Whether we're, for example, last weekend, I was in Georgetown shopping with my wife and my daughter and my daughter's friend. We have the easy ability to make jumps and do those kinds of things. So it's been really great to build a real estate career here as well, because real estate here, it's unique in the sense that it doesn't necessarily ever turn off because, like you said, surrounding the capital, there's always activity around the capital. We have military bases here. We have so much happening that the real estate market, it's always running. Sometimes it slows down a bit. Don't get me wrong. There's always something to do in the world of real estate in the DMV.
I love that, man.
Yeah.
So tell us, what is your average sales price and stuff for people who are in the deep South, right? We know our average sales prices and those are kind of low, but give us an idea of what's the typical buy right now, man? What's selling in DC right now? What's moving? What's not? What areas are up and coming maybe? Just so we can get a little insight on what's happening out there.
So we do focus more in Maryland. Here's something quite unique. A lot of people hear this DMV area and they think, okay, pricing's got to be like one plus all the time. Maryland's average price point right now is $550,000. It's not this crazy high price point. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, we've got $10 million houses here, but that's not the norm per se. What you're typically seeing sell here is anywhere from the 300 to the 750 price range. Those are moving constantly here. Now, when you move closer to Northern Virginia, you move into DC, now you're hitting the 750 plus, pushing the seven figures and in the seven figures as a standard, essentially. It sort of depends on where you're looking.
So what's like really working for you right now? So maybe speak to realtors who are listening. I guess tell us what's really working for you right now in your market, man. What are realtors having some success with? Maybe people on your team, like what are they doing right now to really grab market share right now?
I think when it comes to what's working is it's more about presence. We're in this unique world. I was just having a conversation yesterday with some of my agents talking about how I truly believe that we are in the market of 2017 in the DMV. You know, that 2017 market was quite unique. It was a pre-COVID market. It wasn't this massive rush for all things real estate. The people that won in 2017 and really the people that are winning so far this year in Q1, they're the people that are willing to put in the work. We believe in two types of pillars. You've got hustle pillars and top of mind pillars. And both of those pillars, whether you're working a hustle pillar, like calling expireds, like doing open house events, like the traditional aspect of real estate, right? Whether you're doing that or you're focused more on top of mind, becoming that almost omnipresent when it comes to real estate in the mind of the buyer or the seller that you're uniquely qualified to serve, whichever route you're taking, what we're finding is the people doing the work are actually creating the yield. We are not here in this market. We are not in the world where you wake up, you pop a dancing video up on social, and five people call you to sell their house. This stuff is so far gone, it's ridiculous. And I gotta tell you, look, Jamie, I'm so darn happy it's gone as well, because half the realtors I know are terrible dancers. So yeah, I don't want to see them dancing around. It's unique in the idea that it's almost like what goes around comes around. We are back to where it was, where you actually had to put in the work. And I'll be honest with you, man, that's a little bit of a hardship for some agents, especially newer agents. Like, you have these agents that got started in the industry in 21 and 22. All they know is bang, bang, bang. It's just going, it's going, it's going. Yeah. And that is not where we are right now. We have to do the work. But I'll tell you what, the cream is certainly rising to the top, and you're seeing great people in the industry really show up for the right reasons. And the only right reason I can tell you is the client. So,
yeah, I love that. And one thing I've heard from you in some of your previous recordings was the minimum standard. Like, what is your minimum standard that you're willing to do every day? I think you had used like a McDonald's example or something like that on how their drive-thru was set up. So maybe share a little insight on what that means to you as far as having a minimum standard of excellence or whatever you're calling it. I'd love to kind of hear your insight on that.
And it's funny that you gave both aspects of it, because we used to have a minimum standard on the team. We had a minimum standard. That's what we talked about. Like, this is the benchmark. This is where we start. And then it was only a few months ago that it dawned on me that a minimum standard is just that. It's just a minimum. So what we really need is a minimum standard of excellence. Like, if we want to operate at our absolute best, then our minimum standard should start at excellence. So what is the bare base level of excellence that we choose in real estate and really in life to play at? I say in life because this is not something that, in my opinion, just lives in business. It's something that lives in business. It's something that lives in life, how you treat yourself, how you treat other people, how you treat your body, all of it. What's your minimum standard of excellence? And the McDonald's framework that you were talking about is, I remember growing up, and I'll make this longer story short, but I remember growing up where McDonald's had this campaign where you'd have your food in 60 seconds or less. You go through the drive-thru, from the second you order to the moment they hand you that bag, you'll have your food in 60 seconds or less. And it dawned on me, even as a kid, something that was truly remarkable. We would go order food. It'd be me, my three brothers, my mom. And if you pull up to the drive-thru in front of you, there'd be this teenager, just him in his car or her in her car, and they'd order one meal, go to the drive-thru, get their food in 60 seconds or less. We'd order five meals. Imagine this. It's my mom driving, my older brother in the front seat, me and my two other brothers in the back. Everyone's chirping and chapping. And my mom's trying to order, and we're all acting like this isn't important, even though we're the ones that wanted to go to McDonald's in the first place. And from the moment the order was placed till the moment they hand those bags over, it was 60 seconds or less. Because McDonald's figured out that fast food needed to be fast. They went back to the root and the core of who they were. So it was not only fast, but they made it consistent. They created for themselves a minimum standard of excellence. And what I think we as real estate agents need to get back to is a minimum standard of excellence. But now we hear that and we say that, and I would argue the mistake that most people make is that they think that that lives in being a realtor. And I'm just a firm believer that it does not. It actually lives in being a great human. Because think of it this way, like, I can probably bet everything I have that you were not in third grade and someone said to you, Jamie, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you were like, I got to tell you, it's a real estate agent. I want to be a realtor, right? Like, people don't just say that. But then you turn around and you go back and you say, well, why do people do it? And it's because at the heart of it, there is a great opportunity to not only be a servant for other people, but build a business for yourself and a future for your family. But in order to do that at the highest level, goodness gracious, you absolutely positively need to be a human. You got to go back to, like, leave all the real estate jargon alone, leave all the junk alone, and say, if I'm going to establish a minimum standard of excellence, it's going to start with excellence at the human scale. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like, even for me, I graduated from Louisiana at Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns, right? And I graduated in industrial technology, right? I guess I was going to be in the oil field or do something with some sort of safety technology and stuff like that. And then part of my journey has become I really just started my business because I felt like I wanted to understand and I also wanted to invest in real estate. And yeah. I've been able to do that quite a bit over the last 20 years that I've been in the business. And one of my friends was just like, hey man, get your real estate license just so you can understand what a good investment is. And here we are 20 plus years later and I'm enjoying it, man. And just getting to be in the same room as you and other top agents around the country and getting to share the stories that we get to share, man, about just taking care of people, man. But, you know, I got into it with the framework of the whole investing in real estate side of things. But what I got really excited about was taking care of people, solving problems, bringing creative solutions, and keeping in touch with people, just loving on people, man, making phone calls, talking
just
to people.
Just being a great human.
Absolutely. just coming back to what you said, full circle. Yeah. So yeah, that's awesome.
Let me say this though, when you think about it, we go back to realtors, right? So the realtor mindset versus that entrepreneur mindset. What I just heard you say is, Phil, I was an entrepreneur. I got in the investment game and then said, okay, the add-on to the investment game was real estate. I'd argue that part of creating that minimum standard of excellence for real estate agents, for realtors, needs to be doing exactly what you did, getting into the investment game. I mean, when you really think about this, Jamie, you know, we see all the best deals first. And then what most of us do is like, we're like, holy, like, did God himself drop this deal on my lap? And then what do? We call every investor we know and say, I've got the best deal ever. And the reason is because most real estate agents are not prepared to capitalize, to take advantage of the actual incredible transactions, the incredible deals that are falling in their lap. So instead, they call someone else that is. But guys, we got to look at this and say, this is more than selling a house. This is about selling a house. This is about helping people find a place to truly call home. And don't forget, it's about building a future for you and the people you love. And that is done, I mean, historically, in the best of ways, through literally the product we're out here selling, which is real estate. So I think that people like you that have that experience, like, kudos, right? Because you're not only do you have the experience, but you actively do it. But people need to watch people like you a lot more so they can actively do it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, practice what you preach, right? I think most realtors are, like you said, you get these crazy opportunities. And I always have realtors who come to me and they're like, hey, I'm living with my mom or I'm living in an apartment. I'm like, man, your first goal needs to be buy a house, right? Because you got to live
where you game.
Yeah, get in the game, right? You know, be a part of owning real estate, right? Because it's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's an investment opportunity.
This is part of the reason, Jamie, why I started my coaching company, because I kind of got to the point where I was like, look, you know, I'm actively doing it, right? And I'm talking to people one-off about, okay, you could do this and you could do that and you can do this. And what I realized was the success I had when I started in real estate, my first 3 years in real estate, it was different, man. I sold 234 homes. This is pre-COVID, right? This is before COVID happened. So 234 homes in my first 3 years, I'm a solo agent. How does something like that happen? And then when I realized that, you know, I was in a meeting in upstate New York with a buddy of mine, Phil Jones, who I'm sure you know, he wrote Exactly What to Say.
Yeah.
And he starts talking to me about, like, Phil, how did you do this? And then we're like, you know what? Let's just teach it. So right there, scribble out a plan, and then I create this shift program, and then it takes off, and this community is built, and now it's like, dude, let's just keep going and going and going and giving and giving and giving, because, like, you're doing it. You're serving our peers right now. With these podcasts, you're out here, and you're bringing people to the forefront that can help everyone else, and I just said to myself, well, how can I do that in the best way possible for me? And then Shift Immersive Coaching was born. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about that, right? Like, I mean, if somebody wants to be involved with that, like, what are you coaching on? What things are important to people that are in your network that you're coaching right now? I guess give us a little bit of back. You don't have to give it all, of course, but I mean, give us a little bit of what realtors are coming to you and what you're kind of helping them with.
Yeah. You know, this has been really a beautiful journey so far. It's like I said, it started with this idea. I had to launch in 11 days. So we're going to launch in Q4 of last year. That was 11 days to come. I literally built the system out on a train heading home from upstate New York. But what was really great about it is, like I mentioned, it's become an an amazing community. And you talk about what realtors are coming to me, or rather which realtors, it's across the gamut. I mean, we have brokers, we have solo agents, people that have just started, whether it's solo agents that have just started or really, really successful, different team leaders, even independent broker owners are a part of Shift. And I think the reason people are connecting with it is because I would say it's three. Number one, I'm in the game, right? I'm actively doing it. I'm not kind of theoretically placing this might work. I'm telling you this actively works. And here's how to do it to create the exact or darn near close exact result. I'd say the second reason people are so tied into the shift is that it's become something where what we're teaching is real. It's tangible. It's like an example would be one of the first things we do with everyone that gets started with Shift is that we ask this question, who do you want to work with? And then we ask a follow-up question, who are you uniquely qualified to serve? Because they are often not the same people. So what people do is they get involved in real estate and they're like, well, I want to sell million-dollar homes because the reason I got started is I saw a million-dollar listing in New York and it's just awesome. And the truth of the matter is that's just not what real estate is all the time. So if we build to that, great. But how you build to that is through starting and building a foundation. And that foundation is built. That blueprint starts with who you are already uniquely qualified to serve. So helping people identify that is an immediate launching point for folks. I mean, it's truly incredible to see it happen. And then we hit everything from coaching the whole person to all our SOPs. I mean, my buyer conversion SOP, why people are not showing 20 homes to someone when they work with us in Shift, and it goes down to 3 homes and contracts are written. Why we're able to teach an elite listing presentation that increases your conversion rate to 90%+. Like it's killer, Jamie. And then I'll just give you the third reason. Our core values, I mean, there's so much that we teach in here, right? But the core values are the same core values that me and my team built our real estate team on. And that's authenticity, empathy, and vulnerability. You know, we have what we call shift sessions. These are our group coaching sessions. And sometimes we'll talk about money, and sometimes we'll talk about process, and sometimes we'll just dive into heart. And you'll have literally everyone on the call in tears, grown men, grown women in tears on these shift sessions. And other times we're just diving into the tactical shifts necessary to really elevate business. So it's a blessing for me, just being able to help so many people. It really is. And that's why we launched the Shift event. Shift event is happening on the 15th of May. It's Shift 2025. It's our first of many events to come. So
awesome. And where's that at? And how do they be a part of that?
That's right here. It's in Annapolis. It's in Annapolis, Maryland, at the Annapolis Waterfront Hotel. I mean, it's a gorgeous downtown historic city. So we said, let's do it right here. And I mean, not only be a part of it, but if you wanted to get like, okay, what is it? What's it going to cover? The whole details, you just go to the site, shift2025event.com. So shift2025event.com. When people go there, you can check everything out that's going to be. And here's the thing I want you to know, and I'll give it back to you on this. One thing I realized was there's typically two types of people that go to events. They go to these large events and they get like, I don't know, maybe you write 18 pages of notes, Jamie. You've probably done this. I know I've done it. You get all these notes, you do all the lobby conning, you network just a little bit, and it's I'm so excited. And then you get home, you never look at those notes again. You have to play catch up from everything that happened while you were gone. And it was like, yeah, it was a great time, but you didn't really bring out the skills you needed or the tangible systems to move the needle. And then there's a second type of person that goes to events. They focus on the immersive workshop style events. And that's what Shift is. It's an immersive workshop style event that people can come to and actually know when I leave this one day event, what I need, I will have to move the needle. I'm so serious about this. We have an entire segment that's real time. It's called Ask and We'll Build It. Like literally in the middle of the day, we're going to stop. You ask, this is where I am in my business. This is where I need to go. And we will build the full detailed system for you right there in the middle of the event. So, man, I mean, clearly you can see I'm excited about this.
Yeah, dude, I love that.
Something I'm pumped about. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. So that's awesome. So yeah, let's talk about a little bit about, you had talked about mindset versus mind shift.
Yeah.
And that was something that I loved hearing your insight on this. So expand on that a little bit for us so that the people listening could kind of hear your thoughts on that.
I think this is a great topic because the mistake can happen when we hear this, like, oh, well, Phil wants to change the world in concept of mindset. I don't. I'm just listening to the words. Like if I set my mind for something, really think about it. You have mindset, just flip it around. Set mind. The second I set my mind to anything, I better be 100% absolutely sure because it is now set. It is. Think about, what do you do with concrete? You set concrete so that it never changes. It never, and if it does change, it cracks, which makes it ugly, which means that your mindset is something that you're saying, I am going to set in stone and I never want it to crack. I never want it to change at all. And goodness, could that be more of the wrong perspective to have? What I want to have is a constant mind shift. I want to be able to say that I'm this person that right now I know where I am and I know where I want to go. And I know there's a group of people and a group of persons that are out there that'll really help to build me and grow me. And there's content and there's podcasts like yours that I can focus on. I can log into, I can be there every time there's one, boom, alert goes out and I can listen intently. That will help me shift from where I am to where I want to go. Because who in their right mind wants to stay set in one place forever? So instead of saying, let's mindset, let's mind shift. Let's commit to, how do I get better every single day? How do I perpetuate the state of growth? And then how do I take what I've learned and serve other people with it? Because that's what it's about. I mean, that's what you're doing with your podcast. You're literally saying, I'm going to serve my peers by putting as many people in front of them as I possibly can. So mindset, yeah, I mean, I know we've heard it our entire lives, but I'm just like, I have no desire to be locked in and set into concrete. I want to grow. I want to shift.
Yeah, I love that, man. And even when you look at reading books that you've read or that you've enjoyed through the years, if you pick it up right now, I picked up the same books I've read 20 years ago, and you pick it up and you're like, man, like I'm totally hearing what they're putting down. And 20 years ago, I was not prepared to hear what they had for me in that book. So it's the same thing, man. And it just committing to a little bit better of excellence, a little bit better of the process, a little bit better on your buyer presentation.
You're spot on.
I was visiting with a friend of mine over in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and it's on one of the podcasts a little while back called Make Those Calls. But he basically sells over 100 houses a year, and he has for the last 20 plus years. All the guy does is make phone calls to his past clients, and he has no social media at all. You can't find the guy online.
Wow.
And the great thing is he knows what works for him, and it's a great episode if anybody wants to go back and listen to it. It's called Make Those Calls with Scott Gaspard. And again, he focuses, and in that episode, the thing I really focused in on with Scott was, I said, Scott, tell us about that time that you went from selling 50 houses a year to selling 100 houses a year, and what happened in that time that you did that. And he basically said what ended up happening in that year was he gradually got better at every single part of his business, his buyer presentation, his listing presentation. And what happened was, is this was kind of around the 2008 timeline in our market locally. Like, you know, that was the whole financial disaster crush or whatever. And he's like, man,
I owned a mortgage company then. Please don't remind me.
So what he ended up doing, man, is he just prepared himself with every single small aspect of his business. And then when the shift happened in 2009, 14, 10, you know, 11, 12, he capitalized on it, and he propelled himself to then do a top level of business. And he's so much more efficient in the way he does his business. So I love that in your coaching company, you're diving into all those specifics, because that's super important. It's not one thing that Phil's going to tell you that's going to be like, this is the game changer, but it's everything that adds up to an amazing career.
Yeah, so it's building a business. You know it. Like it's building a business, not just being a transactional agent.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit, man, because both of us are at Real Broker. So tell us a little bit about when you came to the company and what ultimately attracted you to the company, and maybe give us a little bit of that backstory so we can kind of see.
You know, I was with a regional broker for 6 years. I moved over to Real mainly. I just knew where I was no longer the place I needed to be. And because of that, I made the shift to Real. But honestly, I think my journey was different than a lot of people. The reasoning behind it was more because I looked at everything. And while the concept of rev share and things like that, intriguing, the idea of the stocks, fantastic. Goodness, it was just the best plan for my team. I just looked at it and I said, well, where can I bring my team? The ones that are not going to go look for other agents or any of that, they just need a place to call home where they're going to get the marketing, they're going to get the educational aspect, and they're going to make the most money due to what the base tier split structure is. And I just kept coming back to the same place. So for me, it's like, I know there's a lot of different reasons why people make the transition over. But everything for me was, when I present this to my team, how do I present to them the absolute best option for them? And then build from there. I forgot who said it, but I know it wasn't me. It was this idea and this concept of like, if you want a person to buy into your vision, make sure their vision is tied into your vision.
Love that.
So yeah, and it's just this mindset of, man, I'll tell you what, it comes back to service. Like if you just put yourself back for a moment and see how you can bless other people and then watch what happens. So.
Yeah, dude, I love that, man. That's so true. Coming from the servant heart. And that's really the way I've been able to build my business too, is just knowing that, man, they can call me for anything, whether it be a plumber or electrician man. Like here we had some flooding and stuff like that, man. I was rolling sleeves up, ripping out sheetrock, all these different things. Hurricanes come. We're the first ones on the ground, man. Call me. Mm-hmm. I'm coming, drop off a window unit to me. We got power at this Airbnb that we have on this side of town, man. Y'all go post up in there. Like, you know, it's like we're always doing the things to serve. And it's not just the things serving while you're in the real estate transaction. I want them to call me for everything, man. Like, hey, do you
Jamie,
know
you want them to realize you're a good human.
Yeah.
Coming back I will always go back to it, right? It's like, we want people, I'll say this, and you know, I've got a hard stop. So I want to say this one thing, because I'm clearly getting it from you. It's like, we have this concept in real estate where we want people to know, like, and trust us. But then we won't show them our true selves on social. We won't be likable at all. And we expect that they should trust us because we got a real estate license. That's not you. You're clearly saying, no, look, here's a different perspective, right? Like, I'll just be there for you as a great person. And you can get to know me beyond selling a house. I'll just give you all my contacts, and however I can help out here, just take it. And oh, beyond the contacts, boots on the ground. Like, you need me, I'm there. Dude, think about how many of us there are. Think about how many real estate agents there are. If we all just abandoned the mindset of sell a house and adopted the mindset of how do I become a truly great human for the people that I care about. I heard Phil Jones, my buddy I mentioned earlier, he said, the definition of empathy is caring about what the people you care about care about. What if that's how you ran everything? Man, dude, we'd be a whole different world.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. Well, we are getting a little bit close on time, and I want to be respectful of your schedule because I know a lot of people want your time, Phil. So the core of the podcast, we're here to help realtors grow their business. Speak to a realtor who might have had a tough 2024. Maybe they scraped by. Speak to a realtor who maybe had a slow start to 2025 and is looking to grow their business. What might you tell them to get kicked off and kick-started and get on the right track? And then we'll close it out.
I got you. Such a great question. And I'm so happy you didn't tee me up for this, because this is, I love these type of questions when they're just brought to me and Phil, what's on your heart. I posted something on social today. I say it a lot, So I'm going to give you two. The first one, I'll tell you what they are and then I'll explain. Confidence is earned by doing the thing. This is something I've said for years. Confidence is earned by doing the thing. And the second one is work so hard, they think you cheated. I think a lot of agents that had, and there's a lot of agents that had a really, really tough 2024. And even coming into 25, they see other people and they're like, how are they killing it? But I'm still struggling. I think what a lot of agents have to adopt is that this business, like life, is a season. The only difference is you don't have to wait for the rain. You can make it. Confidence is earned by doing the thing. You can't sit back and hope that you're one day going to be confident enough to talk to so-and-so or make the call or go to the appointment and kill it. You actually have to just do it. And the mistake there would be, well, let's just, so you're saying fake it till you make it? Absolutely not. I'm saying practice until it's second nature so you never practice on the people that actually need you. I'm saying go out there and talk to people, but before you even do that, get 1,000 reps in your office. I'm saying when you hear that perfect 30-second pitch, well, go give it to everyone you see at the grocery store. In the end, what I'm telling you is that if you put in the work before the work, that makes the work work. The work will work. And no one else is doing it. I know it's tough for some people. I know it's hard sometimes. But the truth and the reality is, if you work so hard that people think you cheated, the only reason they think that is because you're so darn successful. So just go put in the work.
I love that, Phil. That, dude, that's awesome, man. That's a great place to leave us to, man.
Love it.
So, man, I really, really appreciate you being on the podcast and sharing your knowledge and value with our listeners.
For sure.
So guys, I sure hope that you go follow Phil. We'll put his contact information in some of our podcast link. We're going to be collabing on a few videos on Instagram when this thing goes live, man, so that you guys can go and really dive into the episode. And I hope that if you're vibing with what Phil is putting down, that you go connect with him, man, because even getting into a coaching program, getting into a place where somebody's already been able to have massive success before is a great place to be a part of, man. And if it's on your heart and you're in that area, or even if you're like, hey, I need to do something cool this year, check out Shift, man. Go check out the conference, man. That's going to be an awesome, awesome event. I hope that everybody kind of gives that a look for sure, man. So Phil, thanks again, my brother, for being
on the
podcast.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you very much.
All right, guys. Well, do us a big favor and go and give us a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform, man. Share this episode with a friend. Open the episode up, click on the little 3 dots and hit share and text it over to them. And guys, we really, really appreciate the opportunity to be in your ears and a part of your weekly routine in your real estate business. And if we can ever do anything for you, either Phil or I would be absolutely,
absolutely,
absolutely, absolutely happy to do that for you guys. So it means the world to us that you're listening and you've taken your time to be a part of it. So guys, I hope that you have an amazing day.